Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Masterful federal ruling on intelligent design was copied from ACLU. I'm Robert Crowther, reporting for the Center for Science and Culture. The key section of the widely noted court decision on intelligent design, issued a year ago on December 20th, was copied nearly verbatim from a document written by ACLU lawyers, according to a study released today by scholars affiliated with the Discovery Institute. Judge John Jones copied verbatim, or virtually verbatim, 90.9% of his 6,000-word section on whether intelligent design is science from the ACLU's proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law submitted to him nearly a month before his ruling, said Dr. John West, Vice President for Public Policy and Legal Affairs at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Continuing, West added, "Ironically, Judge Jones has been hailed as an outstanding thinker for his masterful ruling, and even honored by Time magazine as one of the world's most influential people in the category of scientists and thinkers. But Jones's analysis of the scientific status of intelligent design contains virtually nothing written by Jones himself. This finding seriously undercuts the credibility of a central part of the ruling." The Discovery study notes that while judges routinely make use of proposed findings of fact, quote, "The extent to which Judge Jones simply copied the language submitted to him by the ACLU is stunning. For all practical purposes, Jones allowed ACLU attorneys to write nearly the entire section of his opinion analyzing whether intelligent design is science. As a result, this central part of Jones' ruling reflected essentially no original deliberative activity or independent examination of the record on Jones' part," end quote. Jones's copying was so uncritical that he even reprinted a number of factual errors originally made by ACLU attorneys. For example, Jones claimed that biochemist Michael Behe, when asked about articles purporting to explain the evolution of the immune system, responded that the articles were, quote, "not good enough," end quote. The official court transcript, however, shows that Behe actually said the exact opposite. Behe said, quote, "It's not that they aren't good enough, it's simply that they are addressed to a different subject," end quote. Jones's misrepresentation of Behe came directly from the ACLU's finding of facts. Again copying from the ACLU, Jones insisted that, quote, "ID is not supported by any peer-reviewed publications," end quote. But, in fact, the court record contained evidence of several such publications. Legal scholars have indicated that blatant copying to the extent of Jones's, while not illegal, is frowned upon. In Anderson v. Bessemer City, the United States Supreme Court held a district court's verbatim adoption of a party's proposed finding of fact and conclusions of law was not grounds for reversal, but was highly disapproved of. Casey Luskin will report more for Evolution News and Views on these legal ramifications at www.evolutionnews.org in the coming days and weeks. The Discovery study, titled "A Comparison of Judge Jones's Opinion in Kitzmiller v. Dover with Plaintiff's Proposed Findings of Fact and Conclusions of Law," was co-authored by John West and law professor David DeWolf, a senior fellow at the Center for Science and Culture. The study is available from Discovery Institute's website at discovery.org/CSC. West added that those who thought the Dover decision would end the debate over Darwinian evolution were obviously wrong. That debate is just as vibrant and vigorous as it ever was, and Darwinists know it. West cited a recent New York Times report about a gathering of scientists at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in November, where there was, quote, "a rough consensus," end quote, that the theory of evolution by natural selection was, quote, "losing out in the intellectual marketplace," end quote. A year after Dover, it's the Darwinists who seem filled with gloom, not us, said West, highlighting several positive developments over the past few months. In June, South Carolina adopted a science standard requiring students to learn how scientists investigate and critically analyze aspects of evolutionary theory. In September, legal scholar Francis Beckwith, whose support for the constitutionality of teaching intelligent design is well known, was granted tenure at Baylor University after an effort by Darwinists to deny him tenure backfired. At the end of November, the Ouachita Parish School District in Louisiana enacted a policy that protects the academic freedom of teachers to objectively cover scientific criticisms of Darwinian evolution, as well as the evidence in favor of the theory. As we made clear from the beginning, Discovery Institute opposed the Dover School Board policy because attempts to mandate intelligent design are counterproductive. At the same time, Darwinist efforts to use the courts to restrict open discussion of evolution offend free speech and academic freedom. We are delighted that the Darwinist attempt to muzzle the debate has failed. I'm Robert Crowther for the IDTF at the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.